Today is the 21st of Teves, the 8th of January, and we continue in the Sefer Ola Hamidus by Rabbi Moshe Don Kestenbaum, who I happen to have been talking to on the phone yesterday by coincidence. Oh. But when things coincide, there is coincide. Actually, had nothing to do with this shiur. At the end, I mentioned to him, I said, by the way, I have a group studying Ola Hamidus and tomorrow morning. He was very touched, and we're thankful to him for the wonderful Sefer that he... gives us the opportunity to study. So let's continue on page Yud Zayin. This is really still the introductory section about the importance of Midos. So I'll read a little bit quickly. V'avodas ha'adam eina lachsam, the first full paragraph on Yud Zayin. V'avodas ha'adam eina lachsam v'lichbosh es kol rig she'libo. The task of man is not to muzzle and to put down all of the feelings in his heart. Adarava, to the contrary, choshem mod she'adam yiyeh ba'al regesh. Person has to be a person with feeling. El tzarach lishlad al rikshe shelibo, but the point is he has to have dominion over the feelings of his heart. Lismoach b'mesh roi lismoach, to be happy in what's appropriate to be happy. V'lios otzuv b'mokum sheroi lios otzuv, and to be sad and where it's appropriate to be sad. V'eich yochal lishlad al rikshe shosuv, how does one do that? Ayidei melech ha'ivarim, by way of the king of the limbs, shehu ha'sechel, which is the intellect. Nikach es amashal anal, never lo la'adam kesef in his atziv alibo. Take for example, a person lost a lot of money, he's very sad. Hasibol azeshu atziv mishum shesichlo haven shezeo davara. Why am I sad? Because I understand that this is something bad. It's an intellectual interpretation of the event. Avalam hayev borer lo, but if it was clear to him, shequot, kol ma da'avir rachman al tav of it, the Gemara tells stories about in Brachos, that everything that Hashem does is for the good. There's also a line in the Zohar, Lo hayalibo otsev klal, and he wouldn't be sad at all. This was not random, this didn't just happen, this is Hashem guiding my life. So it's a different perspective. That's an intellectual process that affects my emotional reaction.
Yeah. So that's my biggest problem. I don't know how to get, I feel like I'm much more emotional, and when something is bothering me, you know what I mean? And I know the right thing. It's very hard to get the intellect ruling the emotions.
So he's going to talk about...
I feel like it's a lot of women, because we're more emotional. But, it's not the right thing. You know you're supposed to have bitachon and amino. You know it's going to end up okay. But the emotional part is much stronger.
Yeah, I think that is the sign of life. But one of the things he's going to talk about is not waiting till the moment to develop that thought process. If I need, when it happens, I need to think about, oh no, I should have bitachon, oh no, I should. It's very hard, because the emotions have already gone halfway around the world before bitachon got his bootstraps on, but to borrow a phrase. It's really this, it's working on it outside of when the emotions are running high. It's thinking, he's going to talk about before Nisayon, after Nisayon, and during Nisayon. During is actually the hardest time. It's really thinking about it at other times. It changes our mindset. Then the emotions don't start running. But yeah, I think that is very challenging. In every midah, a person has to work hard. L'kvoa b'dayto. See, this is what you're saying. It's to work hard to establish in his mindset. Machshavos shegarmim, thoughts that cause shelibo yargish hergish nachum. Thoughts that cause that his heart will feel the proper feeling. Three different times, before, during, and after. And he actually focuses much more on the not during, because that's the hardest time. Kodem ha'nisayon, olav lahakir v'lekvoa b'dayto es ha'isr shal midos ro'os. Before Nisayon comes up, he has to really recognize and establish firmly in his mind the prohibition of bad midos. That was the opening section of this sefer. That midos are really commandments. Lamashal, for example, Adam harotza l'sgabral ka'aso, person wants to overpower his anger. Yilmad es ma'amari chazal v'divrei rabbeinu shebedar modos chomer midos ha'kas. He has to learn statements of our sages and the other great rabbonim, chazal, and let's say the rishonim, that speak about the severity of the midah of anger. Kemo kol ha'kois gilu ovid avodah zarah, like the statement, anybody who gets angry, it's like he worshipped Avodah Zarah. Part of the Musar approach was, and this was one of the innovations, sort of Musar, was to take a Mamre Chazal and repeat it over and over like a mantra until it really penetrated.
Rabbi Steinberg, isn't it like Gemilat Yeshurim, like Yisilat Hashurim?
You're right. Yeah, I mean, all the ideas that he's saying are taken from elsewhere. This sefer is really just taking the classic ideas and sort of developing them for us. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now this knowledge, okay, granted, getting angry is a very bad thing. Now that necessitates that he has to learn, so how do I overcome my anger? He's really giving us the steps here. Like in anything in education, first I have to know why this is important. Why is this worth pursuing? Oh, this is really important. Okay, now I know it's important. How do I get there? How do I do it? That's the next step. So once I recognize it's really important, so I'll think about thoughts that help me remove my anger. L'mashal. For example, this is a very classic source and very powerful one. Yisbonen b'divrei hachinuch. You should contemplate in the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is one of the great Rishonim, Rav Aaron Levy of Barcelona, who gives us a reason for every mitzvah that he talks about, what he calls Mishrashei HaMitzvah, from among the roots of the mitzvah. So in Parshas Kedoshim, you have the Isser, the negative commandment, of taking revenge. So in the Mishrashei HaMitzvah, where he talks about the reasons for this mitzvah, very interestingly, I think most of us, if we were going to give a reason, not that we ever know the full reason, but if you're going to try to give a practical or a relatable reason why you shouldn't take revenge, most of us would think about the effect on others. Don't take revenge because you're going to harm somebody. He gives that as a secondary reason. The main one is he talks about for the person himself or herself, for the midos involved. And he says one of the reasons for aspects of this mitzvah is because of what it forces a person to think about. And he has a partial paraphrase here of what he says there. She'asa linkom mishum she'kol ma she'nesa la'adam harak me'akadosh baruch hu. Don't take revenge. This is what you're supposed to think about. I shouldn't take revenge because everything that happens to man is from God. It's not random. If things were random and that guy randomly came over and caused me tzaros today, so it's inexcusable and I can't get over it and I want to do something back to him. But if my life is orchestrated by Hashem, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu ratzah shigar mo tzarza, Hashem wanted, that doesn't mean he's right for doing it. And there's a sin on his part. But nothing's going to happen to me that isn't meant to happen to me. The Sefer HaChinuch there gives an example from David HaMelech when he was running away from the palace. When his son, it was the worst moment in his life, when Avshalom, one of them, when Avshalom had created this whole mutiny and his whole kingship is at stake, and it's a very, very terrible time, and Shimei ben Gera comes out and is cursing him. And Yehovah says, should I go over and respond militarily? And David says, no, let him curse, because Hashem wants him to curse me. My sins have caused it, and it's meant to happen. Later, Shimei is punished, and David does orchestrate that Shimei is punished, but he doesn't have personal anger. He's not saying, this is only happening to me because of that person. He says, these are things that are meant to happen to me.
So even if we understand that, if we understand this, then why would we do anything to stop it? So David HaMelech didn't do anything to stop it. He said, no, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet at the same time, shouldn't we make a hishtadlis to prevent seemingly bad things?
Right, but he didn't feel, yeah, absolutely, but he didn't feel that the words made a difference anyway. Yeah, if somebody's coming at me with a spear, I'm not going to say, well, if he lacerates me, then that's what was meant to happen. There, of course, he's supposed to make a hishtadlis. The Chinuch is really talking about after the fact. So Shimei said what he said. First of all, words don't make a difference here. They're just insulting words. And really, it was somewhat after the fact. So he's just saying, what should my attitude be? It happened. But you're absolutely right. Yeah, where one needs to make a shtadlus to respond, to protect oneself, or whatever it might be, then of course, we don't. You're not supposed to be such a mom and you don't do anything. Well, whatever happens is meant to happen, of course. How good and how pleasant it would be if a person could, like, innovate, be machadesh, thoughts that help for him. When we were learning a sefer from Rav Kook. He said every person who's capable should write his own Musaf sefer. He says every person has things that with that person that resonates. If I'm working on anger, like what particular thought, maybe developing a little more. So if a person can work for himself or herself on thoughts that help, that would be a great thing. By way of studying Musar and contemplation before the trying situation, Yachal Ha'odim Lahashrish Badaita, a person can implant, inculcate in his mindset, in his heart, in his mind, and Mamela believe in his heart too, Hashkafa Tova V'Yishara, a good and straight viewpoint, that when things happen, he responds the right way. And of course, it's easier to address something when we're not in the height of emotion. During the Nisayon, we're in the height of emotion. In fact, as Sfarim talk about this, you also see in stories of David HaMelech, that's really the whole idea of using a mashal. The Maggid gets up to speak, and he starts telling a story about the Yid, Reb Zalman, and he had Tzaras, and this happened, and his wife said this, and we're all taken away. It's like we're watching a play or a show, and we're watching him, and we're relating to the figures, and we realize, you really shouldn't do like, he shouldn't say that, she shouldn't respond like that, or whatever it is, and then you turn around and say, that's you. Which is what Nasan HaNavi did to David, actually, when he gave him Musar, and the Malva makes this point that if I get up and I say, okay, folks, I want to criticize you now. Here's what you're doing wrong. So what do we all do? We put up our defense mechanism. But if I'm watching a story about somebody else, and then all of a sudden, an instant, I go, oh, no, that was actually me. So the message is able to penetrate without the defense mechanism. So before the Nisayon, there's no defense mechanism. During it, it's much harder. The Kodem HaNisayon, Kal Yosef Lomod Musar, before the Nisayon, it's easier to learn Musar, was Bonin Begreyos Hamida HaRazos, and to contemplate the badness of this bad midah, Kevin Shadayin lo nimtza b'matzav hakoshesh hanisayon, because he's not yet found in a situation, a difficult situation of trial. V'zehu, turning the page, hamala shahalima, that's the mila of study. She'achsho yachol liras bibriris, that now he can see with clarity. Right? On Shabbos we have a malacha called borer. It's clarifying. This combination was murky, it had bad stuff in it, I want to make it borur, that's what to be borur means. So now you can see with clarity, without any murkiness, it's hasheker hamunach b'midah hara, the falsehood that rests in a negative trait.
It sounds like you're like focusing on the negative, like you're supposed to think if something so terrible happens, is that what we're supposed to be doing?
What do you mean?
Like, it just says that you're supposed to be prepared, that if something negative happens, then you're prepared because you thought about it before. But then we're always thinking about, the worst thing that could ever happen to us.
You mean if I always have to be thinking about if this happens, if that happens? I think he's giving an example of a midah. Kas is a midah that to work on, you really have to think of provocative scenarios, and therefore you do. If someone says something not nice to me, it doesn't matter. You're right. I think there are other bad midahs, like failure to be grateful. The way to respond to that is to think all about all the positive in life. I think it sort of depends. And they really go together. We could think about it in a positive way. I think about how Hashem is guiding my life. This is not random. It's not just I got up today and today this went well, yesterday it didn't go well. It's all part of Hashem's navigation of my life. So included in that is, so when something negative happens, it's not random and it's not that person and it's Bashert. I don't know if it only has to be negative. You're right. I think I've always wondered, if that guy says something to me, I'm not going to get an A. You're right. That's like always expecting the worst.
Well, if you're seeing yourself in the positive, you are seeing positive in the picture. I mean, you're seeing yourself triumphing over the negative.
So right.
You're the hero. You know,
you're the cape. It's almost like you're borrowing the trouble.
That's right. Like I think some about the kids in the hospital that are sick. Like if they ever thought that, all these kids were going to be so sick. If that's what they're thinking about, and then being able to handle it. Like if you go in some of the rooms, you see the parents have the most unbelievable amunah and bitachon. That should be,
I think that's a good example. I think there.
But you're not going to think, oh God forbid, if my kid gets sick, this is how I'm going to be.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if it pays for a person to think of every possible bad scenario. Right. It pays to think that Hashem is guiding my life.
To you, then
Hashem is guiding my life in general, and including.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, could it be, to clarify it a little bit, that maybe if we know that we have, a week, so to speak, midah, that we would run scenarios through our head, like, okay, what's going to provoke me? How am I going to overcome it? I know I have a meeting with so-and-so today, so could that be where he's going with this?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is part of why to do a very intense musr really needs a gedolei musr to guide you. Part of the opposition to the Muslim movement is they would do exercises that were so intense. What if I'm doing all these exercises about thinking about being provoked and it puts me into a negative state of mind? I think all these things, to take musr seriously, you have to approach it carefully. You can't overdo it. You're right, you can become negative if you're always thinking about negative situations. I think for us, we're talking at a general level. Life is not random. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach it, including, God forbid, if negative things happen. I don't think it's positive to focus too much on all types of what-ifs. But yeah, I think if there's something like a provocation that a person expects or a negative, specific negative scenario, it can pay to do a dry run in one's mind. Sfarim tell us when a person says Shema Yisrael every day, he's supposed to imagine forfeiting his life al Kiddush Hashem. The Bach quotes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bach. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom, we're killed for you every day. And it means to say it with that kind of intensity. And I don't know if a person should picture himself being tortured in that way, but it means that type of intensity, to live with Mesiras Nefesh. But all these things have to be, I think it's a valid point, they have to be done carefully. Let's go to the third line in Yud Ches. V'ein tzafek sha'adam yipol b'yad yitzro. If a person only waits till the Nisayim comes up, and that's the first time he thinks about it, he's going to fall into the Yetzer. Avalam lochem b'tmidus im yitzro. But if he's always battling with the Yetzer, again, battling being... Your point well taken. I think if we're always battling, we might feel sort of beaten. One guy's walking down the street whistling, another guy's like, it feels like he's at war constantly. I mean, battling in a healthy sense. V'zocher tamid v'grayusin shalamidus arosi. He always remembers the lowliness of bad midas. But as with Hashem, yatzliach l'skabra al yitzro. With Hashem's help, he'll be successful. V'rak v'hisraglus tamidus. Only with constant habituation. Targilim are exercises. That we know from everything else in the world. You need to be exercised. You can't just get onto the playing field without being exercised. Pam acher pam, yilmod ech lasos kafi sichla velo kafi tivo. I don't remember if he says it later or others for him, that if a person really trains himself, something that for someone else is very difficult, they can do that maneuver very readily. For someone else to turn on the seichel over the emotions, it's a big trial, but a person who's practiced doing it a number of times, already trained himself, he knows, you know, it's almost like in a military technique or a sports technique, that if you haven't practiced it, you don't know how to respond. But the person, he's been through the drill, knows how to do it, and it doesn't really take much. First of all, he knows how to detect the signs that it's coming, and he also knows how you respond. Now, va'achar ha'nisayon. He doesn't really address during the nisayon, but he says, what about afterward? Person had a trial. And now we're talking about thinking about it afterward. Im nafel b'yad yitzro. If he fell into the hands of his yitzer. Oy vey. Terrible thing, right? Well, he's going to mention something that made me think of bringing a letter from Rav Hutner. It's part of the game. Part of the struggles, you don't always win. So im nafel b'yad yitzro. Tzarech l'hizbonen b'masha asa. He's to think about what he did. Ha'echad, for one. L'hizcharet al masha asa v'lasas tshuva. To feel bad about it. And to do tshuva. Uba, first of all, just per se, I did something wrong, I gotta fix it. But more than that, uba ze gam yisayeya la'atzma lenatzeach es ha-yetzer b'pam haba. And by so doing, he will help himself to beat the yetzer the next time. Shayudei sheyizkar es ha-tzar shehirgish. By way of the fact that he'll remember the pain that he felt. B'mesh alo es gabra al-yetzer, for the fact that he didn't beat the yetzer. Yes, orer belibo hatshukal is gaber ba'asid al yitzur. That will rouse the yearning to overpower the yitzur in the future. This is something that our Ben Yonah talks about very early on in Shari Tshuva. In the first section of Shari Tshuva, before he even gets to the steps of Tshuva, he tells us how important it is to do Tshuva right away. And he says, because look how important it is, and look how bad it is to delay in doing Tshuva. And one of the things that he says very early on in Sefer is that going through the tshuva process is not only good per se, it protects you from sinning again. Because tshuva is difficult. It's not easy. It's a tough workout. He has withdrawal symptoms, whatever he has, but since it's unpleasant, He says to himself, I don't want to have to do that again. So the sooner a person does tshuva, the sooner he says to himself, I'm not going to let myself fall into that again. If a person worked very hard on a diet or any other like physical goal that requires a lot of self-denial and work, he doesn't want to be in that place again. So the sooner he does it, the more protected he is from falling into the Yetzer Hara. So that's what he's saying here. And even more than that, so one is just generally to do tshuva, so that he says, I don't want to have to do tshuva again, so I want to stay careful, but also to get into the specifics. What did he fall into? How did he fall? Yeah, where are my weaknesses? He can learn how to be on guard from this for the future time. It was only in certain scenarios, certain times, so you could avoid those. L'ma davar dama, what's this similar to? L'milchama, to a battle. Shem tzva ploni yinatzech, tzva amoni pamachas. If army A beat army B one time, bevada eshesari hatzavi, yisbonu heitav. So the losing army, the army B, will contemplate. Yidrashu v'yachkru l'ma naflu v'yad oivam. Why do they fall? V'ech yicholm hein l'shanos estachsi seyem k'dei shinatzchu v'pam haba. And they will think about how they can be, you know, change their strategy so they'll be victorious the next time. Somebody's just talking on Shabbos about in the startup world, it's considered a mila to have failed. People like to hear that you failed, because if you failed, you know the pitfalls, and then you're gonna be more successful in the future. So I was talking to my Talmidim, and some of them have interviews in Farhers. So I said, a very common question is they ask you, tell us a weakness of yours. So I said, well, somebody just told me yesterday that it's considered a mila to have failed. So if they ask you, what's a chasaron, what are you lacking? I said, well, unfortunately, I never failed. So that's one of those impossible questions. Tell me a weakness about yourself. So you want to say something that's really a compliment? Well, it would be good if I had failed. But anyway, I'm saying that as a joke. But in seriousness, we do learn from failings. We learn from failures. Like in battle, our chachamim have an expression, "Ein chacham kebal nisayon." There's nobody as wise as the person who's been through the trial, because you know where you haven't been successful. Otherwise, it's all theoretical. But a person who's been there and even has not always succeeded knows where the weaknesses are. Kein hu b'malchemas hayetzer. So is it with the malchama against the Yetzer Hara. Yesh l'sbonen heitev mano yechol nasos k'dil l'natzchul p'am haba. We have to contemplate very well. A lot of it's not deep hashgafa thought. It's very practical. Where are my weaknesses? How do those weaknesses come up? How can I avoid them? So if he's been there already, he knows more. V'ha'ikarhu, the main thing is, sha'adam yisrakez al midosav v'tomin yisbonen ba'atma. A person should focus on his midos. There you go. That's the whole sefer. To focus on midos. V'tamid yisbonin ba'atma. He should always contemplate about himself. Liros to see shesichlo v'libo mechuvon l'derach ha'yesharot. That his mind and his heart are focused for the straight path. Sometimes a person could do a quick checkup and say, "How am I feeling today? I'm feeling pretty mean and angry." That's not, you know, that. So you have to see where am I headed? Where am I guiding myself? What am I after today? Is that a good thing? A bad thing? Vida, and you should know. Shema adam yiskaver al midosav pam achar pam. This is what I said before. Knew I read it somewhere. That if a person overpowers his midos, he's triumphant time after time. Lebesof yehadavar tlo keteva sheini. Yeah, and the matter becomes like second nature. Vafilu lelov is haizbonin us. Even without contemplation, sichlo velibo yinagu kashura. His mind and his heart will act as is proper. And what originally was very difficult, at the end will come to him with ease. There's a place where, you know, when David HaMelech asked Nassan HaNavi initially, should I build a Beis HaMikdash, before Hashem told Nassan that actually, no, he can't. I forget the wording in the pasuk, but Nassan says, like, your heart is such that what you feel like you should do, you should do. A lot of people, their heart is such, what they feel like they should do, they should turn around 180 degrees and run the other way. But David HaMelech's heart has developed a degree of, if you feel like it, that's the right thing to do. That's a madrega. V'zeo chizek la'adam, and this is a big chizek, this is a big word of encouragement for a person, shalochem em yitzro. This is so important when people have any kind of struggle in life, be it in midos or anything else. If a person thinks it's always going to be that difficult, people get despondent. I can't fight this battle like this all the time. But if you tell people, no, it gets easier. This is the hard part, and it will become easier with practice and with time and experience, so then he can do it. So the same thing with Midos. It's a big chizuk for a person who's fighting against his Yetzer, that he should know. By beating the Yetzer Hara, he'll be above this Nisayan. Note that he chooses his words carefully. He'll be above this Nisayan. Don't worry. Mr. Yetzer Hara's got another one coming.
No, but sometimes you just get beaten down. And there's no having to go through the same Nisayan again, or a similar Nisayan again. It's just like beats you down again. You can't pick yourself up from that necessarily. You don't say, oh, good, I did it the last time, I'm going to be fine. You say, why do I have to do this again?
You mean if he's not victorious?
Yeah, right, if he's not victorious.
Yeah, he's talking about where he is able to do it. Okay. Yeah, sometimes we have something that's just very difficult. And I don't remember what it was when I was looking over the text, what made me think of this letter of Huttner, but I want to read parts of it. It's a famous letter. Sometimes the right thing is just to stay in the fight. That's a big thing in life, just not to be miyayish. He's talking about where it's something that a person can actually conquer. Sometimes people have an awareness that just staying in the fight is the ultimate victory. But let's see. Harbe anashim tzaddikim lo noladu. Yeah, this is what reminded me of this letter. Harbe anashim tzaddikim lo noladu midasei matovos. Many great tzaddikim were not born with their good midas.
I didn't understand something that you said. What does that mean? Staying in the fight is like what you do. Isn't the idea to overcome it? It's like to my.
Some people have nisyonos that are very challenging.
Right. So you either stay in it or you overcome it. But saying no, I'm giving into it. That's supposed to not be an option.
Right.
Like you said, you're not supposed to be miyash to it.
Right.
So, I'm not sure, like, what the
chiddush
is here.
No, Janet mentioned that sometimes where a person feels like they're getting beaten down. And he's talking about something. He's talking about where the person with training is victorious, moves on, it's already past that. Some people have nisyonos in life, it's very hard to, it's a life struggle. But I'm just saying, their victory is staying in the fight. He wins some, he loses some. Not everything is 100% conquerable. For all people at all times. But yeah, it's tempting to just be miyayish. That's what we shouldn't do. Many great tzaddikim were not born with their good midas, but they toiled and they worked on themselves until the matter becomes like it is their very essence and their nature. It looks like his nature. Yeah, he's 60 years old, he's working his whole life on that, so it's his nature. But it was not his inborn nature. And the matter is not like the Welt thinks, like the way the world thinks, that they were born with their good midos. It wouldn't surprise me if when Rabbi Kestenbaum wrote this, he was thinking of this letter, which I brought along from Rav Huttner. Rav Yitzchak Huttner was one of the great, great thinkers, great Rosh Hashiva, the Chaim Berlin Yeshiva, Nifter around 1979 or 1980. But he has many beautiful writings, including we have some volumes of his letters, which are not so much in halacha, he has halachic writings too, but more like in machshava and chizuk. See, there's a famous letter he wrote in Tavshin Chav Gimel, it's 1963. And we don't have what the person who had written to him wrote, but you can tell from the letter, the person must have written that like he's failing. And it's a shame, I used to have such good Musar ethics, and now I'm failing. I'm not a Baal Musar anymore. I was something like that, because Rav Huttner writes in the opening lines is Dalacha Chavivi Ki Etzem Mechtavcha Misnagedu Lachol Teurman in Tzombo. Your very letter is in diametric opposition to all the terms, all the descriptive terms you use in it. So when I first saw it, I didn't know what he means. But you read on, you figure out the person must have been writing like, I used to be so good, and now I have all these struggles, and I'm struggling with the Yetzer Hara, and sometimes losing, and therefore I'm a Musar failure. And the whole letter—it's a very—it's a famous letter. People quote it a lot, but it's a very encouraging letter because he talks about how there's this unfortunate tendency that when people write and speak about Gedolei Yisrael, they write about them as the finished product. As the end, and they don't talk about the process. I'll read a little bit here. Ra'a chola hi etzleinu shekasher mes askim anu b'tzadeh hashleimus shel gedoleinu. It's a bad illness among us that when we talk about the shleimus, the greatness of our great leaders, hinenu metaplam b'sikum ha'achron shel ma'alas. We talk about the end result, the summary at the end of their character. But we don't talk about the struggle to get there. Hakol mesochachim, espalim, marim, malneses, taras halot. This is a famous line. Says everybody talks about the Chavetz Chaim, the great power of his control over speech. Nobody talks about. He said, "Al mi yodeim in kol malchamas hamavakam hamachsholim hanfilas." Who knows about all the battles, the wrestling, the stumbling, the falling, the backsliding that the Chavetz Chaim had on the way during his battle with the Yetzirah. And he says, what happens, therefore, is a person who reads all these descriptions about what great people are like, and then he looks at himself, he says, oh, like, I have no place. He uses this term. He's a person who's not shasul b'veis Hashem. He's not planted. He's not from among the trees that grow in Hashem's vineyard, because I'm not perfect like that. And he says, it's a terrible error. And he talks, he actually uses the English expression twice about lose a battle and win the war. When we engage in the struggle with the Yetzirah, we sometimes lose battles, but by staying, like I said before, but staying in the fight is winning the war. He writes very emotionally. He says, "Hinani lochetz uschel levavi velochesh baznecha." Here, I'm drawing in here to my heart, and I'm whispering in your ear. He said, if you had sent me a letter that says how great you're doing, I would say it's a good letter. If you tell me, now that you sent me a letter that tells me how much you're struggling and you're having, you're regressing and things, now I say it's a very good letter. If things are hunky-dory, that's a good letter. If things are full of struggles and ups and downs, even downs, that's a very good letter. And I don't want to read the whole thing here, but it's a very encouraging and very beautifully written chizuk. And he actually quotes, so I didn't get to read the whole thing here, but he quotes some of what he says. He said, that's not failure, that's working on oneself. And that's very important to remember. He signs the letter, B'hishtatfus b'sivlecha, b'bitochem b'nitzchoncha, b'tfilat hatzlachoscha. One who is sharing in your burden or your suffering, one who has faith in your ultimate victory, and one who is praying for your success. Okay, and then he writes at the end, like, P.S. Now you know what I meant when I said your whole letter is in opposition to the descriptions you write about it. That's not failing. That's most of it. That's good. Okay, and that's what he says here. Bottom of page Ches, last three words, back in Olam Amidos. V'lachein morim hetel atzmam. Therefore, people make allowances for themselves. Shem lo shayochem lazeh. Kevin sh'nolodo amidos rose. If people have the impression that Bale Midos are people who are born that way, so then if I'm not born that way, I can grant myself an allowance. Heter, I don't have to try because I'm not like that. El Hepech, to the contrary, Ha'emes Husha Ovdu Al Atmam Achazenes Ativim, they worked on themselves until it became their nature. Hamidos Sha'odam Mashrish Ba'atmo, the Midos that a person inculcates within himself, Bein Latov, Bein Lara, whether for good or bad, Nesim Kechelik Mimenu, become like a part of him. Uknuyim etzlo ad kedekach shemarishim lebanav, to the degree that he can even bequeath them, he can give them on to his children. In other words, it's something, it's not inborn in him. He had to work on it, but it can become so part and parcel of him that he can actually give it on to the next generation. Kemosh mevor bedrashas haran drush hay. Took a quick look in Drush Hay. I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to there, but there's a concept, as a pasuk, Holech Batumo Tzadik Ashri Bonavachro, person who goes in completion is a tzadik, fortunate are his children after him. And we have this concept that a person can develop midos that were actually not inborn. He had to develop them, but then he can give them on to the next generation.
So they inherit them, like, physically, or it's just natural for them because they grow up in that, and therefore...
More of the latter. I will tell you, the Ramchal, Shana Derech Hashem, talks about that in the formative years of Klal Yisrael, up until, when we talk about 600,000 souls, and Sefer Bereishis, up to basically what we're reading now, those are the years that create the spiritual DNA of Am Yisrael. When Avraham Avinu did Chesed, it put Chesed into us. Everything they did put those midos into their offspring. A lot of the Svarim talk about that was until that was set. Basically, the 600,000, the Shishim Rebo, that's like the essence of Klal Yisrael. And now we're just offshoots of that. And we say, you know, we're the heirs of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, those were the developing years. After that, it's sort of our Ruchnius is set. He may be referring to a different concept. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I don't know if it's the right drasha listed here. The Drasha Saran is a classic sefer of machshava, of deep concepts discussed. We have certain svarim that really go through like the fundamental questions of how things work in Judaism. The Drasha Saran is one of them. It's from Rishon. He had a Talmud who also wrote a sefer like that. It's a classic where I took a quick look. I didn't see exactly what he's referring to. Yeah.
But also, if you look at the tzaddikim and we don't know about every battle they have, don't we also inherit from their DNA also the same way? Like, the parent who passes on to their child certain midos, they don't know always, the kids don't always know the parents' battles. So similarly, we don't need to know every battle and every gadol. We need to know that they have battles because that makes us encouraged, but we don't need to know every battle because we're inheriting from a higher place.
I don't know if you mean at a metaphysical level or at the practical level. Yeah, I don't need to know every... this is always a delicate balance. How much to reveal of people's struggles and failures. The Torah HaKadosh does it tremendously. Rav Hirsch makes a comment in one of the places where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. He says, look how the Torah takes the greatest people and it highlights, doesn't just, it highlights their failings. Whether it's a mitzvah to be mefarsim, to publicize every weakness of every great person, even if it doesn't get into Lashon Hara, that's a hard call. And I think there's a little bit of tension about that in the Jewish world of publication. Rehudner saying people do go to extreme. If the only way we present people, we tell stories to our children, and they've only gone to all the shots when you're 6 years old, it's not relatable. It's not, we have to talk. These are people who work on challenges. It doesn't mean you have to publicize real weaknesses. But I think, if anything, our world does more of the presenting everybody as perfect, and it's not encouraging to people. Let's move on to Koach HaSeichel here. Nisbar, it's been explained, Shesichel shel adam tzarach lishal arvik shelibo. Seichel has to dominate over the feelings of his heart. V'aleinu l'da'a she'ein l'shar is Koach HaSeichel. One has to know, you cannot get your head around the power of the head. You can't assess the power of the Seichel. Yadua she'yesh anashim she'yecholim l'fol. It was known that there are people who are able to implement she'lo yargishu tzar b'gufam ayitei Koach Seichelon. Like a mind over matter thing. There are people who, by way of their mind, can make that they don't feel pain. Certainly we can rule over our souls by way of the seichel. L'mashal. When he says souls, he means our feelings. We can rule over our feelings by way of the seichel. L'mashal. Adam pogea b'chvodeinu malivanu. If a person offends our honor, our dignity, and he shames us, Teva ha'adam, who it's the nature of man, and b'fratam hu adam ragish, particularly if he's a sensitive person, l'tzdar ma'od, to be very pained, u'l'tz'atziv midivrei chaver, to become very saddened by the words of his friend, or he was his friend, avol ha'adam yachol l'lamed es'atzmo, a person can train himself, l'his'ale midvarim elu, ki'ilu lo shamam, he can train, everybody, people tell their kids, ignore it, it's not so easy, but he can train himself to ignore it. It's as if he didn't hear it. Sharei kol tzaro nove. He's using this to illustrate the point. What hurt me? What he said, or the way I think about what he said? It's the latter. It's not what he said.
Well, maybe he really was hurtful.
Right, but it's... Yeah, we're not denying that. But what hurts me about when somebody says something hurtful is the way I think about it subsequently. Uh-huh. I always tell people, it's not our circumstance, it's the way we feel about it that affects our happiness in life or our success in life. He's making the point that one can use one's... He's not saying it's easy, but one can use one's mind. It's really the way I process things in my mind that will affect how I feel and think about things. It's not what was said. All of his pain stems from the fact that he's thinking, he's contemplating the words of his friend, and he's reviewing it in his mind. If he chooses not to contemplate his words at all, he won't be pained. By the way, here again is why Musar is a powerful tool, and it has to be practiced right. You may recall when we were learning the Sefer Musar Avicha Rav Kook, he spoke about a concept that's really spoken about in Kabbalah Swarm of Nesiras Amidos, which is sawing the Midos, which he talks about. It means you have to cut them very carefully. You have to know where the contours are. Sometimes a person's trying to remove a negative trait, and he does a surgery in such a way that he cuts out a good trait also. And this comes to my mind now, because if we're talking about, you know, ignoring when people offend, I can be working, you know, I get so upset and so sensitive and it affects me, so I'm going to train myself to ignore when people criticize me. What's the danger?
You can't learn from it.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes they're saying things I really should hear. But I've trained myself, you know, everything just goes right, like, you know, water off a duck's back. So I don't get upset. I'm walking around in bliss. I'm a blissful person. I don't get angry at people. But I'm also totally unaware of my own failings because, yeah, like the expression goes, your friends are hiding from you some very important information that your critics have to share. You know, like sometimes I'd be better off hearing it. So that's why you have to be careful. You don't want to overdo it and be deaf to criticism that you should hear. But he's.
But on the other hand, you're not supposed to embarrass somebody.
Right. Everything has to be done carefully. I'm not talking about them right now, whether how they should do it, you know, that there may be what to talk about. I'm talking about for myself. I'm in the world, and sometimes people say things that are critical of me, and it's offensive, and it hurts me, and I get upset. So he's saying I can train myself not to really listen. But when training myself not to listen, I have to have a proper filter that says when, okay, this is just gratuitous criticism that's just going to get me upset and not going to yield anything good. Versus, oh, this I should listen to. I shouldn't get upset about it, but I should listen. Maybe he's criticizing me for a reason, and I have what to fix.
But why should it hurt you if what the person said isn't the emet?
True. I would say either way. If it is the emet, I should fix what he's criticizing, and if it isn't, I mean, sometimes people are just upset that somebody would say that. How could he say something so outrageous about me? Does he really think I would do that? Does he really think of me that way? So sometimes it's not the emes and we're offended that the person would even suggest such a thing. He said something untrue, but the fact that he could say that about me indicates a very low perception of my character. That sometimes that's what's hurtful. In any event, again, this is illustrative. This isn't necessarily the right technique. But he's saying minds have the power of imagination. Just shows how it's really all in your mind. Or it all could be in your mind. Person could imagine that he just complimented him with nice words. So he's just trying to illustrate the point. It's not what the person said, it's the way I think about it. How much you think about it, how I think about it. Not that one should do this, because I think you'll start living in an imagined reality, but if every time a person insults me, I convince, in my mind, I start imagining that he said the nicest things, I wouldn't be upset. Again, that may be an extreme way of doing things, but it shows that the mind has the power. This is just a mashal. That in every situation, a person has a tremendous power to be a warrior, a mighty man, to conduct himself with the ultimate shlemus by way of his seichel. So here we want to quote other words from the chinuch, a mitzvah shelo lehisavos. We have a mitzvah lo sachma, not to desire things, not to be jealous of things, I should say. Not to be jealous of what another person has. This raises a very big question that numerous Rishonim talk about. How can you have a mitzvah what to feel? You can give me a mitzvah how to act. I am jealous that that person has that nice thing. You can tell me don't steal it, don't say something nasty to him or whatever, but how can you tell me not to be jealous? It's a feeling. It's just there. I thought the mitzvahs start after that. After you have that negative feeling, now, you know, don't go ahead and act upon it. But how can the Torah give me a command what to feel? So maybe you're asking that question. Don't tell me if you are, because the Sefer HaChinuch is about to call you a tippish. He's going to say, only a fool. It's a foolish question, really. So let's read what he says. V'al tisma, don't wonder. Lomar, remember the Chinuch wrote this Sefer for his son to learn the mitzvahs of the parasha. So he's saying, don't wonder. V'ech yiyah v'yado shal adam l'mnoa levavo me'ez avos el otzar kol kli chemda sh'yir b'shus chaveiro. How can you have a mitzvah that a person is not allowed? The Torah exhorts him, says he has to hold back from desiring all of the treasure houses of old, coveted, wonderful things that he sees his friend having. And he's entirely devoid of all of them. I have none of that. No Porsche, no Maserati. Right? There can't be a prohibition in Torah for anything that a person doesn't control. That I'm jealous is just there. Afterward, you can tell me, don't do something because of that. Wrong. He says, the wrong premise. The matter is not so. Only bad fools and sinners say such a thing. It is within man's control to control his thoughts and his desires. And the truth is, he can distance or he can draw near the desires per his will. His heart is within his hand. Whatever he wants, he can incline it in that direction. Hashem, before whom all hidden things are revealed. He seeks out all of our inner... Those are metaphors for our inner feelings and thoughts. There's no small or big, good or bad matter from all the thoughts of man that's hidden from Hashem. Nothing's out of sight. Yoshiv, it should be Nokom. Hashem actually pays back for people who in their hearts violate his will. And he pays back manyfold, thousands of fold, for those who make their hearts turn to his avoda. There's nothing good for man like pure and good thoughts. Ki hi reishis kol hamasim v'sofon. It's the beginning and end of all actions. V'zehu l'fi hadoma inyan lev tov sheshibchu chachamim b'maseches avos. And it appears to me, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's what Lev Tov is. Pirkei Avos is very terse, right? He says, what's the best mida? Lev Tov. That's so general, good heart. But what does it mean? He thinks that's what it means. A person that he channels his desires for the service of Hashem and not for others. Yeah, there's a famous Ibn Ezra on this, that one will argue, I don't control what I feel, what I want. But the truth is, if you think, again, it's an example of seichel dominating over feeling. If in my seichel I knew, like Rabbi Shmuel Salanty used to say, when someone else's property, it's like there's a brick wall. In front of someone else's property, it's like there's a brick wall. Or as he puts it, if when somebody just slipped and is falling down, you know, from a tremendous acclivity somewhere, he's not thinking about, gee, I wish I had that guy's, if he thought of it, if he had Yirah Shemayim, it feels like there's a Hashem is looking at him. If I feel like Hashem is watching me, I wouldn't be thinking, I deserve to have what he has, what she has. So the thoughts can control what we desire. If we desire things, because we're not thinking, we're not using the seichel to put ourselves in a state of mind that would protect us from those things. So just to drop more here, I mean, that's a thought to contemplate. But he has one more section here that I wanted to try to cover, which is for a person to recognize his madrega. A person has to know where he's holding. And I'll just paraphrase it here. He says, sometimes a person thinks he's acquired a certain level. I don't struggle with X. I don't have that problem. That's absolutely true. I don't struggle with X. But you know why? Because X doesn't come up with any kind of temptation or trial in my life. It's not on the radar. It doesn't come up. And but he says to himself, I only have that issue when I interact with so-and-so. Well, maybe that's the only time the Nisayan comes up. So it's not that I'm 95% developed in this me. The 95% of the time it doesn't come up. But the 5% of my life where that struggle comes up, I'm absolutely undeveloped. I'm absolutely unprepared and unready. He gives a mushal of like you have a lawn. And, some of it is grass and some of it is weeds. So if you do like I do, try to make sure you keep it well cut so it all looks the same. You know, when they're small, it just looks like grass. If you let it grow tall, you see this is a horrible looking weed and this is nice looking grass. So it's the same thing when things are small, when they're not really coming out to fruition, so it all looks the same. You know, a person has good midas, a person has bad midas. There's no provocation, there's nothing really sticking out. There's no growth of the meat is not sticking out. But if you let it, you give it a situation where you let it grow out to its full appearance. So this one looks like a weed, and this one looks like something healthy. It's the same thing with meat does. A lot of time, it's being kept small. Nothing's really coming up. So it is a person of desire, a person of arrogance, a person of anger. You can't tell because the meat is not being brought out into their full picture. But then when there are instances that really let us see, well, where are you holding in Kaas? Where are you holding in Taiva? Where are you holding in Gaiva? So then you can see what's grass and what's weeds. That's what he says.
Weeds have their own beauty.
Okay, well, I'm going to control my temper here. No, I'm just kidding. but he's using it as a mushal for, as the Torah does, Sharish Pararosh Velana, something really, that's really bad. It kills others, and so on. So at the bottom, he says you can have a person who thinks he's not a kasan, he's not a person who gets angry, but it's because he's not provoked. By the way, he even says there are people who will avoid, unknowingly, they don't realize it, but they're avoiding situations. If I have a problem, I need to be the best. So rather than go into a situation where I have to be humble and recognize, there's other people here who are way more advanced than I am, I'll put myself in a situation where I'm not learning anything or I'm not growing because, well, at least I'm the best. Unbeknownst to him, gaiva is a big problem and it's a hindrance. He's avoiding situations where he'll be challenged in that midah, and because of that, he's not going to the situations he should go into. That's a very big problem.
Does it work kind of like a vaccine that you work on yourself a little by little? If you're only exposed to a little bit and then you have a little bit of instead of being exposed to a situation that's full blown going to blow you over, what if you're just exposed to a piece of that situation?
Yeah, so I think that
does that help you strengthen those muscles to work on it?
The famous piece from Rav Dessler talks about where a person's nekudas habachira. Everyone of us right now has what level I can push and do a little better, or I could not push myself and fail. I can't be, in whatever midah I'm struggling, I can't be great at it in one leap, generally. There's special moments in life, or maybe you can, but generally, that's exactly right. We have to push to go a little further. Like, so many things in the physical world are mshalim to the spiritual world. It's like that in physical exercise and so on. I can push myself a little further here. I'm not running the marathon tomorrow, but I can push a little bit. So it's the same thing. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the only responsible way to develop in midas, is to push a little further. Not usually a good idea to jump into something that's really going to be too much to handle at once. So the last point we make today is that a person is supposed to recognize where he is and not mistake lack of nisayon for being triumphant in nisayon. It could be in something. Chazon Ish writes about this too. You'll recall when we learned here emunah bitachon. Chazon Ish really says that there's no such thing really as being very developed in one midah and not in another. He says usually when you see that, what it means is the person hasn't been tried. In other words, if a person wants to have Yiras Shamayim, so it means in all things I want to do what the Torah wants of me and what Hashem wants of me. But if you have a person, in Bein Adam LaMakom, he excels, but in Bein Adam LaChavero, he's an Oisvarf, so then there's something not beseder there, something's not right. It just means this is easier for him. But if a person has to work hard, he should be ready to work hard in all areas. So we shouldn't mistake lack of Nisayon for being triumphant in Nisayon. The first step in doing better is diagnosing the problem. One of the great rebbes was speaking. It's recorded in Rav Zevin Sipur Chasidim. He was speaking on Parashas, I guess, Mitzora, and the Chasidim were sitting at the tish. And this one tells over a beautiful Torah insight. And this one tells over a beautiful Dvar Musar and Dvar Chasidus. And he says, look at the difference in the Parsha. What are the Kohanim come before people come before the Kohen and they show all their blemishes, right? Look, Kanega nearly. Is this a taras? What's wrong with me spiritually? Diagnose me. Here, he says, you guys all come. You put your best foot forward. You're trying to show me how great you are. You're supposed to come and be willing to face the weaknesses, and thereby come to improvement. That's part of the lesson of taras and the Kohen, and to recognize the first step to improvement is honest introspection, recognizing where we are weak, and Bezus Hashem being willing and having the fortitude to strengthen ourselves.
That's good.